Monday, July 30th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. We are located right here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back again to discuss the world of sports with a dose of common sense, maybe just a touch of sarcasm here or there, and I hope that you enjoyed your weekend. Happy Monday to you. Yes, I know when you hear those words, happy Monday, you just kind of cringe. I cringe even just saying them. I know we're back to work here after the weekend, but I hope that you enjoyed your weekend. I hope you had a good weekend, but it was a rough weekend in the world of sports, wasn't it? Not a whole lot to watch. I hope you did something productive because watching sports was pretty much null and void this weekend. Maybe you went to some parties. Maybe you went out. Maybe you enjoyed time with your friends and family because football season is coming. We know we'll probably forsake all friends and family when that gets here. So hopefully you did some of those kind of things this past weekend with it being as quiet as it was. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, let us know how you're feeling today. Maybe let us know how your weekend was, what you spent time doing. Feel free to hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can go over to Facebook or Twitter and find us over there. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you have a suggestion. Understand this. It doesn't have to be a big national story. Maybe you have a question about a specific team. Maybe you have a question about a specific player or situation. Send it. We'll always take the time to get you an answer, and we just might end up using it on the show, but we would love to hear from you. Hey, today on the show, like we do on many Mondays, we will be recapping the weekend in sports by looking at a few of the things that we learned over these past 2 days, because it's not just enough to watch the sports. We do want to actually take something from it. And while there weren't a ton of things to watch this weekend, I still learned a lot. I still watched a few stories develop. I still watched a few things develop, and I did still manage to learn a few things. Let's go ahead and jump in, and let's start in the NFL. Because like I just said, the NFL is coming quickly. Do you realize we have an NFL game this week, Thursday night? Yes. NFL training camps are open. And as the NFL is starting to just barely get rolling here, we learned that the Los Angeles Chargers might have moved out of San Diego. Doesn't matter. You're still cursed. The curse followed you to Los Angeles. The Chargers used their 25th pick of the 2014 NFL draft on a player that, looking back now, I guess he just wasn't meant to play the game of football, because for a third straight season, the Los Angeles Chargers look like they're going to be without the services of cornerback Jason Verrett after he suffered an Achilles injury during a conditioning test on Friday. Turns out that that Achilles is torn, and at 27 years old, do you realize that Jason Verrett has missed 43 out of his 48 games over the past three seasons? It's just insane. Now remember, Verrett missed a total of 12 games in 2016 after he suffered a partially torn ACL in his left knee in week 4. He underwent surgery. The knee didn't heal correctly, and Verrett had to have another operation in 2017, which caused him to miss another 15 games. Verrett also missed 10 games because he had an injury as a rookie in 2014. But like I said, the Chargers just seem to be cursed, because every single year, we are seeing them lose player after player after player to injuries. But understand this, when it comes to the Chargers, this is all bad karma. I hate to say that. And I know people say, hey, that doesn't have anything to do with it. This is just freakish luck. This is just a weird situation. No, this is all Marty Schottenheimer voodoo. Don't forget that. Remember, you do not fire a head coach that took you to a 14-2 record. 14-2? Do you realize how many teams would kill for 14-2? And yes, Marty Schottenheimer did not always do so great in the postseason. We know that. But 14-2, and you fired him because you thought at the time, we're going to go get something better. Yeah, how's that turning out? You just don't fire a head coach like that. Since the Chargers fired Marty Schottenheimer, and they were rolling when they had him, they are a combined 92-84, just a hair above 500. And every single season, we see injury after injury after injury. We saw tight end Hunter Henry go down earlier this offseason. Now Jason Verrett is out. We have seen injuries to Ryan Matthews, Keenan Allen, Stevie Johnson, Forrest Lamp, Mike Williams. It is injury after injury after injury for the Chargers every single year. Then yesterday, rookie tight end Austin Roberts blew his ACL. He is also done for the year. You can talk about unlucky. You can talk about, well, it's just kind of how things turn out. Not really sure what's going on. The curse of Marty Schottenheimer is very much alive and it is very much real. Do not doubt that. Got a couple other things coming out in the world of the NFL. The Tennessee Titans announced on Friday that they came to terms on a contract extension with offensive tackle Taylor Lewan. It is a 5-year deal worth $80 million. $50 million of it is guaranteed. Yeah, it's huge. That is the richest contract in NFL history for an NFL lineman. Now, Lewan is in the final year of his rookie contract after the team had already picked up his fifth-year option for this coming season. And he was hoping to get a new deal. He was seeking to become the highest-paid tackle in the league. Not sure anyone expected this much. Now, remember, Nate Solder had previously been the highest-paid offensive lineman after he had agreed to that 4-year, $62 million deal with the New York Giants back in March. Now, Lewan already has taken that spot away from him. Now, here's a little side story you might not have seen. Upon signing this giant deal, Taylor Lewan had this to say. I would like to thank the Tennessee Titans for making me the highest paid offensive lineman in the history of the NFL. And I would also like to announce that if I have a good season this year, I will be holding out for a much better deal next year already. Shout out to Julio Jones for this great idea because I am going to do this as soon as physically possible. That's kind of a weird statement. Like, that's kind of a weird thing to say for Taylor Lewan to come out and say that right off the bat. We don't usually hear that. We hear that after the season ends and going into the summer and they start thinking about preseason. I don't want to do that stuff. I'm going to hold out. Hey, Taylor Lewan, apparently, I don't know. He just announced it right after he signed the deal. Did he really do that? I don't know. That might be fake news. Sometimes I have a hard time gleaning what is accurate and what is not from the world of the sports media, but I don't know. He might have said something like that. Hey, coming back, we are going to continue with what we learned from the weekend in sports. Major League Baseball announced last week that they want something that none of the rest of us want. Oh, and also, has Tom Brady joined a cult? I'm starting to wonder.
What happens when two...
I found this adoption agency.
...turns into five.
She comes with two younger siblings.
In an instant.
Three kids?
And one?
From the creators of Daddy's Home.
We might have a little bit of a knack for this.
Oh, no!
I beg to differ.
...comes Instant Family, the feel-good movie for everyone.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Thanks, Daddy.
Starring Mark Wahlberg.
Should we give them a kiss goodnight?
You guys are overthinking this.
Rose Byrne and Octavia Spencer. Instant Family. In cinemas February 14. Certificate 12A.
Let's continue with what we learned from the weekend in sports, and I do want to stay in the NFL. Of course, veteran wide receiver Dez Bryant remains unsigned so far this year, but Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown took to Twitter and tried to recruit him to Pittsburgh for some reason. Come play with me at Dez Bryant. Let's get the chip, eat greedy, big plates. That is what Antonio Brown posted on Twitter Sunday morning. Yeah, that's exactly what the Steelers need. Some more greedy players. That would be perfect. This entire roster is made up of look-at-me players. Ben Roethlisberger threatens retirement because he wants everyone to focus on him. He's worried, you know what, I don't know if everyone appreciates me nearly as much. We'll see him with some of the injuries. I'm not saying he's faking the injuries. I'm just saying he might be accentuating the limp a little more than is really needed. You have Le'Veon Bell, who always wants a long-term deal, despite the fact that he's not that dependable. He does have some injuries. He has had some off-the-field issues. But he's always saying, hey, what about me? What about me? What about my deal? Antonio Brown. I mean, here is a guy who films post-game locker room speeches to post on his social media accounts. Forget the fact that when you're in the locker room, it is widely regarded as kind of a sacred members-only type of place. Antonio Brown's filming it. I'm going to put it on my Facebook feed. I want everybody to see what goes on in here. You got rid of wide receiver Martavis Bryant. And now Antonio Brown is reaching out to see about bringing in Dez Bryant? I mean, hey, I'm all for it. Understand that. But then I'm not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I mean, for me, it's just pure entertainment. If they want to go get Dez Bryant, I'm completely fine with that because I'm just sitting back and being entertained. But I'm not sure if I'm a Steelers fan that I would be wanting that at all, because here is the question that I have about Dez Bryant. We keep hearing again and again, and we see the players on Twitter, and we see fans on Twitter. We see sports media people saying the same thing. Hey, Dez Bryant can still play. Make no mistake about this. Dez Bryant can still play. Well, then here's my question. Why has no one signed him yet? Like, I guess there must be some doubts about his abilities to play, or someone would have signed him. Are you telling me there aren't people out there that need a big athletic wide receiver that can go attack the football in the air? I can think of 10 teams right now that need that guy. Why is no one signing Dez Bryant? There's only two answers. Either he's not as good as he once was, which I think is absolutely true. Since those injuries, I don't think Dez Bryant looks like the same wide receiver. He can't go attack the ball. He does not create separation from the defender like he used to be able to do. So I do think he is less physically. But I would also guess that there must be some doubts about what he brings to the locker room. Doesn't that seem like the most obvious thing? Well, we can bring him in. Maybe he can still play. If nothing else, maybe we could mold him into a position that we could use. Maybe he could be a possession guy. Maybe he could just get us some tough catches over the middle. But then what does he bring to our locker room? We saw over the weekend, he's calling out the Cowboys. He's calling out other players on the Cowboys. He's calling out Jerry Jones. He's calling out his linebacker that was on the Cowboys. There are some things with Dez Bryant that go far beyond the physical attributes. I have my questions about the physical attributes, but there are some things going on with that guy that are making teams go, yeah, you know what? No, thanks. We're all good. I mean, hey, if the Steelers want to take him, have fun. Enjoy. Best of luck. But I don't see the Steelers making that call. I just see people on Twitter asking for that. I don't think the Steelers are going to do it. I don't think he would fit in exactly. I don't think they need another player like that in Pittsburgh. You know, one other thing I learned in the NFL is I learned that New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, I don't know, I'm starting to wonder if he's part of a cult.
What?
And when I say that, you might laugh or you might think, oh, you're crazy or you just hate Brady or whatever it is. I'm really starting to wonder, like I'm genuinely starting to wonder what is going on with Tom Brady. Over the weekend, we saw Brady asked about Julian Edelman's 4-game suspension for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing substance policy. Of course, Brady's personal trainer, Alex Guerrero, has also been training Julian Edelman privately. What was Tom Brady's reaction when they said, is there any chance that Julian Edelman's trainer could have had something to do with Julian Edelman's 4-game suspension? Is there any chance? Is that even possible? What does Tom Brady say? I have no comment. It's just ridiculous. I'm out. See you guys. And Tom Brady grabbed his stuff and left. Wouldn't even answer the question, hey, is there any chance whatsoever that maybe this guy could have given Edelman something because he did get suspended? Won't even answer the question. Is it that unfair of a question? I mean, it's not like they're asking something completely unreasonable. I mean, this guy who trains you, the guy that you swear by, the guy that you have basically changed your entire life over, also trains a teammate of yours that got popped for a banned substance. Any chance that your trainer, the guy you love, the guy you swear by, was involved in that? And Brady won't answer? Yeah, that seems a lot like what Squeaky Fromm would do if you asked if Charlie Manson was involved at all in the LaBianca Tate thing, doesn't it? No answer. I'm not giving an answer. I have no comment on that. That's absolutely ridiculous. Like, Tom, you could have actually helped the case, couldn't you? You could have said, no, I don't think there's any connection. Based on what he teaches, this, this, this. Based on what we learn, this, this, this. Based on what he believes, this is. You could have laid out some facts. Instead, you get all butthurt and you start walking out and you won't even field the questions. I start thinking at this point, I don't know, maybe Tom Brady's been brainwashed by this guy. The fact that you won't even field the question? You won't even answer the question? I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing it out there. Tom Brady might be involved in some sort of weird brainwashing cult.
Wait, is this the group that goes around mutilating squirrels?
Well, no, I don't know about that, but it's some sort of weird brainwashing cult. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. Brady, just answer the question. It's not that hard of a question. Okay, let's switch over to Major League Baseball. And I know we actually learned this last week, but we didn't get to discuss it here on The Dose. But we learned actually last week that Major League Baseball wants to give us all something that none of us want. Not sure if you saw this, but last week, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred stated that MLB wants to expand to two more teams from the current number of 30 teams to 32 teams in Major League Baseball. He says Portland, Las Vegas, Charlotte, and Nashville in the United States, certainly Montreal, maybe Vancouver, and we think there are places in Mexico that we could go over the long haul. Rob Manfred wants more teams in baseball. Yeah, that's just what we need. More baseball. Over the past few weeks, I've been wondering, how can we get some more four-hour games with literally two or three plays the entire game that's worth watching? Well, apparently, Rob Manfred has a plan to do exactly that. Think about this for one second. As bad as watching a series over the weekend like, I don't know, the Toronto Blue Jays versus the Chicago White Sox was, which we did have this past weekend, which is horrible baseball. Both terrible teams, like in dead last place. Those series are out there every single week. Manfred wants to drain a little more out of the pool. Really? We want more baseball? How about this? How about we cut the 30 teams down to like 24 teams? And how about we cut the 162 game schedule down to like 82 games? Now we're getting somewhere. Now things are getting more interesting. Do you see why I get so frustrated with baseball sometimes? We all want less baseball. No, they want more baseball. And not just more baseball. More bad baseball. That's the key. Because you can't make that talent pool thinner. You just get more bad teams. No one wants more baseball. I'm being honest. We don't want the baseball we have. Ratings are down. Attendance is down. Right now, Rob Manfred saying he wants more baseball and more teams is like telling us we're going to be getting more social media notifications on our phones. I don't want the ones I have. I certainly don't need more of them. You know, we also did learn that there are some National League teams in baseball that are trying to make a push to improve this season. Because remember, that MLB trade deadline is tomorrow. So which teams are actually making moves that could have an impact? Well, as I looked at some of the moves this weekend, it's kind of hard to tell. Let's take a look at who made some interesting moves in the National League this weekend in baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers, I mean, they apparently feel they're a true contender in the National League. They're just a half game behind the Cubs in the Central. So over the weekend, the Brewers sent some prospects to the Kansas City Royals for former All-Star slugger Mike Moustakas. Now, you might remember Moustakas. He contributed heavily to that 2015 Royals team that won the whole thing. This season, Moustakas is hitting .249. He has 20 home runs. He has 62 RBIs. Hey, the Brewers are a very good defensive team. They've got solid pitching, but they definitely needed some more punch in their lineup. Hey, they feel like they have a chance in that National League. That National League looks like it could be gettable. Maybe another bat in the lineup puts Milwaukee in good shape down the stretch. I like what they did. Speaking of the Chicago Cubs, they're hoping they can take advantage of a National League, like I said, that looks like it can be had. The Cubs have that small league over the Brewers. They do have a very formidable lineup, but their pitching has struggled at times. So what did they do? They went out and acquired left-hander Cole Hamels from the Texas Rangers for two minor league pitchers and a player to be named later. The Cubs did also get some cash from the Rangers. Now, Hamill is 5-9 this season. He's had a horrible 4.72 ERA, but we know he has had a history of being a quality pitcher at times. Is there a chance that Cole Hamels gets the opportunity to go from a horrible team in Texas to Chicago, go from worst to first, and maybe he gets some motivation? Maybe he starts to find that again. Maybe he starts to play well again. You have to think if he does, he's going to shore up that Cubs rotation a little more. So I like this move for the Cubs. Another team that made a move was the Philadelphia Phillies, because they're in the thick of things in the National League East. I mean, the Phillies are 2.5 games ahead of the Atlanta Braves, and the Phillies are another team, again, that could sneak up on everyone and contend for the whole thing in the NL. But you know they need to generate a little more scoring. So what did they do over the weekend? They dealt a few minor league pitchers to New York and went and got Mets infielder Asdrubal Cabrera. Now, Cabrera should be able to help the Mets lineup right away. He was hitting .277. He has 18 home runs. He has 58 RBIs. He can play anywhere in the infield. He's a solid hitter, but he can play second. He can play third. He can play shortstop. Again, this is a move that makes sense for the Phillies. The Phillies are hoping to do some work in the postseason. Well, they went and made a move that might help them. Finally, we have the Colorado Rockies. Now, the Rockies are in a little bit of a different position. They're sitting in third place in the National League West. They're 2 games behind the Dodgers, who seem to be coming on and are the favorite in the NL. And then they're 0.5 game behind Arizona. So of all the major league teams that we have talked about today, this would probably be a team. Colorado is a team that probably needs the most help because they've got a tough road ahead of them. The Rockies have some ground to make up. And that's not good because we know their history. And their history is that they usually melt down when there's pressure on. So what do they do? Hey, they could make a move and maybe go get some bullpen help. Brad Ziegler's out there. Maybe a Zach Wheeler's out there. They could use another consistent hitter in their lineup. So who do the Rockies go get to bolster this lineup and make a push for the postseason? The Colorado Rockies brought back veteran outfielder Matt Holliday on a minor league deal. Really? That's what you're going to do? Holliday's now 38. Now, we all remember he played in Colorado from 2004 to 2008, and he had a lot of success here. He helped the Rockies go all the way to that World Series in 2007, which, you know, sounds impressive. Hey, we're bringing back a guy. He knows Colorado. He's played here before. But we also remember Holliday was traded to the Oakland Athletics in 2009 when he was unable to make a deal with the Rockies because they didn't want to give him any money for a contract extension. Then he ended up signing with the Cardinals, helped them win a World Series in 2011. Most recently, he was with the New York Yankees. And with the Yankees this season, he is averaging a whopping .231, and he has struck out 114 times. Look, I get it. The Rockies are cheap. I understand that. And I also understand they've been trying to live off of that 2007 World Series since the day it happened. And it honestly was just lightning striking the right place at the right time, but is bringing back Holliday really the move that's going to pay any dividends? What else are you going to do? Are you going to bring back Troy Tulowitzki and Josh Fogg too? This is exactly the kind of move I expect from the Colorado Rockies. A cheap move that for some odd reason actually makes local fans think, hey, they really care about winning. No, they don't. The local fans are actually excited. Hey, we're going to bring Matt Holliday back. There are people actually saying the words Rocktober. With Matt Holliday coming back, please stop. If you want me to get excited about the Colorado Rockies, go sign some players that can actually help. Or go bury the Rockies mascot Dinger. Either way, then I would be excited. Bringing back Matt Holliday, well past his prime, it's not doing anything for me. What's he really going to do here in Colorado? Once again, the Colorado Rockies do Colorado Rockies things. That's just how they roll. Hey, coming back, we will finish up with what we learned from the weekend in sports. We have an NBA team that made a move. They say they want to make a few more, and they better. And we also learn that sometimes in college, there's just not that much to do.
What happens when two...
I found this adoption agency.
...turns into five.
She comes with 2 younger siblings.
In an instant.
3 kids?
And one?
From the creators of Daddy's Home.
We might have a little bit of a knack for this.
Oh, no!
I beg to differ.
Comes Instant Family, the feel-good movie for everyone.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Thanks, Dad.
Starring Mark Wahlberg.
Should we give them a kiss goodnight?
You guys are overthinking this.
Rose Byrne and Octavia Spencer. Instant Family. In cinemas February 14. Certificate 12A.
Hey, just a quick reminder. If you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. August Loot Crate theme is out, and it features items from Rick and Morty, Office Space, Harley Quinn, and DC Comics. Of course, the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. We've got to now continue with what we learned from the weekend in sports. And switching over to the NBA, you know, the Houston Rockets have made a few moves this offseason, which is pretty exciting considering how close they were last year to pulling that upset over the Golden State Warriors. Hey, they were in a game 7. It could have happened. The Rockets, of course, have re-signed Chris Paul. It looks like they're going to be adding Carmelo Anthony. And over the weekend, they also re-signed restricted free agent big man Clint Capella. Of course, the Rockets have also lost a couple players too. Trevor Ariza went to Phoenix, and Luke Mbamute went to the Los Angeles Clippers. So when you look at the Rockets right now, as compared to the team that ended the season, would you say they're better than they were? Or would you say they're worse than they were? I would say they're worse. I don't think they're as good as they were because I look at this team and I say, well, you got worse defensively. You lost Ariza, who is your best perimeter defender on the entire roster. And it also looks like you probably got significantly worse by adding Carmelo Anthony. And you know what? It sounds like the Houston Rockets tend to agree with me because ESPN NBA analyst Brian Windhorst is reporting that the Rockets are discussing possibly making a major trade to go bring some defensive help to Houston. And you know what? Forget the Rockets right now. We'll kind of put them off to the side. I don't think they're better. I think they've gotten a little bit worse. Are there any teams in the entire NBA that have made moves in the offseason that make us think they have closed the gap to the Golden State Warriors? Because I can't come up with anyone. The Lakers are better than they were, but they've got huge roster issues. The Oklahoma City Thunder kept Paul George and got rid of Carmelo, so I guess that helps a little. Philadelphia, they basically stayed the same, but then they picked up former Denver Nugget Wilson Chandler, so they will probably actually be worse. The Spurs had to deal their best player. The Celtics seem to have internal strife with the return of Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, and now young players aren't sure of their roles and they don't want to go back to the bench, and there could be some problems there. Minnesota and Portland pretty much stood pat. No one got any closer to the Warriors that I can see. And that's kind of disappointing because you're looking at the offseason saying, hey, there are some free agents out there. But you know the biggest problem? Nobody wants to take less money. And if you don't want to take less money, it's going to be tough to build that team. Finally, we will finish up with college football, which also coming quickly. We have college football games coming in less than a month. But we learned that in Iowa, there apparently isn't a whole lot to do besides drink. Yes, I know they probably cook meth back there too, but college football players can't do that. Like, they have enough to do. They can't get into that line of work until later, but they can drink. Oh, they can drink. Iowa offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs was ticketed early Sunday morning for driving while intoxicated. Wirfs is only 19. He actually started 8 games as a true freshman in 2017, and he was listed as the Hawkeyes' number one right tackle as they enter preseason camp, which is opening, of course, this week. Now, Wirfs was stopped by police early Sunday morning in Iowa City and booked into jail after he received a citation for operating while under the influence. He was released later Sunday morning. Here's the disturbing part. Wirfs' arrest comes 8 days after Iowa defensive tackle Brady Reif was arrested for public intoxication in Iowa City after, wait for it, he mistook a police car for his Uber ride. Boy, that's a mistake we've all made, isn't it? Hey, yeah, go ahead and take me home. Hey, what is with all the vomit on the floor? And why do you have a 12-gauge shotgun on the front seat? This Uber looks different than the other ones I've ridden in. Hey, say what you will about the Iowa Hawkeyes not doing much in big games. They haven't had a history of huge success and winning games on the national stage. But make no mistake, this Iowa Hawkeyes football team can drink with anyone. When you are reaching a point where you're still functional and you think a cop car is your Uber ride, well done, Iowa Hawkeyes. You did some very good things this weekend. We learned this weekend that in Iowa, yeah, apparently there just isn't much to do. This is the worst time of year if you are a college football coach, by the way. You are just praying that you don't get that phone call. Hey, by the way, yeah, one of your best players, he thought a cop car was his Uber. Yeah, that's never, ever a good phone call to get. Hey, you know, we've got another interesting week here for you at the Daily Dose. Tomorrow, we are, of course, going to be discussing the latest sports stories coming out in the world of breaking news. But we are also going to be discussing a few things that might be heating up this week. And I'm telling you right now, certain things are getting extremely hot. I say thank you all so much for listening to The Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, for all of you that subscribe to the show, it is appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday.
What happens when two...
I found this adoption agency.
...turns into five.
She comes with two younger siblings.
In an instant.
Three kids?
And one?
From the creators of Daddy's Home.
We might have a little bit of a knack for this.
Oh, no!
I beg to differ.
...comes Instant Family, the feel-good movie for everyone.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Thanks, Daddy.
Starring Mark Wahlberg.
Should we give them a kiss goodnight?
You guys are overthinking this.
Rose Byrne and Octavia Spencer. Instant Family. In cinemas February 14. Certificate 12A.